17 this morning. If you've been with us any time at all, no doubt you know at least a couple of things. Deny, die, and follow. You also know that truth is what God says and what God sees. That'll get you a long way down the road, to be honest with you, both of those. Well, this morning I'm going to use that latter statement, truth is what God says and what God sees. It's the only basis of truth that we have. So read with me one verse this morning, John 17:6. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Jesus is speaking to the Father. As we learned last week, this is the Lord's Prayer. The prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke 11 are patterns for prayer. Answer to the question of the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, after this manner, pray you. But this is the Lord's Prayer. This is His prayer to His Father just hours before He goes to the cross. If you were with us last week in verses 1 through 5, Jesus began His prayer and said, Father, the hour has come. The hour that both He and the Father knew was coming has come. The hour that they knew, He and the Father knew, had to be, has come. This is the hour. He's talking about the hour that He would die on the cross for the sins of the world. As we mark time on our calendar this Friday, we call it Good Friday. Somebody said, what could be good about somebody dying on a cross? You know, don't you, if you're forgiven today. That makes it Good Friday. So He also talked to the Father about the outcome of that hour. The outcome of Him going to the cross was that He would glorify the Father, and the Father would glorify Him. And if you're with us last week, we noted the fact that He desired, wanted, looked forward to being glorified in the presence of the Father. Now, I hope you took that home with you. And I hope it got down inside of you like it did me. Folks, that's the place that we want to be glorified. And glorification is the end of salvation. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Today, what I see among us is that so many of us want to be glorified in people or through people or around people, right? Don't raise your hand, okay? Jesus had no interest in being glorified in the presence of people. He's going to be humiliated in the presence of people. His desire was to be glorified in the presence of His Father. Not a bad goal to take home with you today. And I'll do the same. Jesus also, in those first five verses, as we count verses in Scripture, revealed His authority. His authority that was given to Him by His Father. And that authority, He said, since you have given Him authority, given me, Jesus is praying, given me authority over all flesh, you are the sovereign authority of the universe. You gave me authority over all flesh, over all human beings. And now listen, to give eternal life. He and the Father are just talking. He's praying. And Jesus said, you have given me authority to give eternal life. In verse 6 now, there seems to be a shift. The verse we just read, there seems to be a shift. It seems to move from just Jesus and His Father. And now He seems to envelop some people. You read it with me a while ago. He said, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. He seems to envelop people. Jesus' words in verse 6 and beyond then, the rest of his prayer, spends a lot of time talking about these other people. These people to whom he has proclaimed, manifested his name, and whom you gave me out of the world. A lot of the rest of his prayer has to do with these people. And so there's a shift there in verse 6. In this brief phrase that Jesus uses here has resulted in a controversy in Christendom and beyond that reverberates down to the day in which you and I live. You said, hold it, did we read the right verse? I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. That phrase right there and what follows has created a controversy that rages down to 2016 and has for hundreds and thousands of years. Maybe it would sound a little more familiar if we ask a question here. Who's Jesus praying for? Who's Jesus praying for? He's praying for people. Who's he praying for? And then if we extrapolated that out a little bit more, who determines who is in Christ? Who determines who is saved? Now, are you finding the handholds? Do you see a little bit of where this is going? The title of the teaching this morning was what? Truth is what God says. This is no opinion this morning. This is no denominational position this morning. Only what he says, okay? If you'll give me your attention, I'll give you that guarantee. One group at this end of the continuum would say, people decide who's saved. It's a people decision. In other words, if I want to, I am. I can. At the other end of the continuum, God decides. And no doubt there are many variations and combinations between these two ends of the continuum. People decide, God decides. Jesus is dealing with that issue in this prayer this morning. So let's listen as Jesus and his Father talk about the issue of who can be saved. Okay? Friends, brothers, sisters, deal. You give me the politeness of your attention, and I'll only tell you what the Word says. All right? Okay. Again, in verse 6, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Note in this sixth verse, there is a giver. Who is the giver? The Father. There is a giver, and Jesus has said very plainly, you have given me. All right? Then who's the receiver? Jesus. And what is the commodity? People. Okay? Now that's not that hard, I found out. Okay? The depth of it I'll never get to, but it's not that hard. There's a giver, there's a receiver, and there's a commodity. To the people you gave me out of the world. Now, Jesus manifested, he said here, I have manifested your name. Now, we could read over that very quickly, and we won't go to the depths of that because we'll be here till next week if we do. Jesus said, I have manifested, I have made known your name to the people. A lot in a name in this day and time. Not this day and time, but that day and time. Name meant everything. I mean, what you named a child was a big deal. I'm seeing that that's not the case today. And some of the names, you know, not even any vowels in some of them. YRXTM. What is, how do you pronounce that, Bob? Mamas and daddies, to be. Be careful what you name your kids. They're going to have to spell it at school, one. And two, people, they're going to have to constantly, Jody and I know a guy that we won't mention name, but he spells his name a certain way, and to me that looks like this, but that's not the way you pronounce the name. And he's very quick to correct you about it. And I had to practice it because I needed him. A lot in a name. Do you know what your name means? Do you know what John means? God is gracious. Woo! Yeah. And it's only the 26th most popular name given in the last year. Everybody needs grace, don't they? And do you know what the feminine of John is? Joanna. Now try to pull that one off. So when Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the people, he's saying a big deal. He is saying that God's name represents him and all that he is. All that he is, the depths of my Father, I have manifested him to them. He said, I manifested your name to them. So Jesus told a select group of people, those out of the world, about his heavenly Father. Yours they were. What is he talking about there? You created them. They are created in your image and after your likeness. Now, you did not create them with a sinful nature. That happened because of their rebellion, but you created them. You have created all flesh. On Sunday nights, we're watching this series on abortion, okay? And once upon a time, the argument there, as you know, was, well, it's not a human being. They're not alive, okay? It's just flesh, okay? But then, science backfired on itself. And what was found out was that there was a beating heart just weeks into the pregnancy. That now that that child can experience pain, and we saw a little video clip of a child that was being aborted and how the child drew back because of the apparent pain that was there. And so now the whole script had to be changed. Okay, given it's alive, it's a human being, but I get to decide if it lives or not, he or she. God is the life giver. He creates life. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Yours they were. God created them and all that live. And you gave them to me. Now, possession is by redemption, whereas possession was by creation. The life giver now gave them to Jesus, and now possession is by redemption. You know, God has always been in the selection business. Abel, he selected over Cain. He selected Noah. He selected, I've got a long list here, okay? He selected Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and Paul, and on and on and on it goes. But we seem to be bothered by that, don't we? That God selects. Well, who are these people? I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me. Who are the people? Only the 11 that are still there? Judas is gone? Is it the 11 plus about 109 others who would make up the 120 in the upper room where Jesus told the disciples to go and wait till they be endued with power? That time between the ascension and Pentecost, there were 100. Is it that 120? We didn't read over there, but if you keep reading, you're going to bump into verse 20. And Jesus says over in John, go ahead and peek over there, okay? It'll take us 3 or 4 years to get there, but we'll be there, okay? Into the phrases again, Dwayne. Okay? All right? I can't get over the phrases. They're his words, right? Okay. Verse 20. He's still praying. This is still part of the Lord's Prayer. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. The group just got bigger. And there are other possibilities. I've heard them and you have as well. Who are these people? I've heard these answers before. Who cares? Who knows? It's everybody. We can't know. Folks, I believe it is important to find the answer to this question this morning. I believe it's important to find the answer to this question of who are these people? I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. I believe it's absolutely necessary to know who these people are. There is an answer. I believe there's an answer. Not according to the desires of people. Well, I want it to be this way, so that's the way it has to be. Not according to the wisdom of people. Not according to the feelings of people. Not according to some private personal interpretation. No, 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 no. Who are these people based on what you say? God. Who are these people that you gave to your son? We need to know the answer to that question. Because billions depend on knowing that answer. John 17:2 says, since you have given him, Jesus is praying here in the first part of John chapter 17, since you have given him, Jesus, authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Do you see why that gets to be a big deal and we need to know the answer? Eternal life is in the mix here now. And the giver of eternal life is Jesus, i.e. those that the Father has given him. You see, the Father gave the Son, who in turn gives eternal life, to those he has been given. Follow that? So, certainly it's the 11. It is the 11. I mean, that's the group that's listening to he and the Father visit, converse, the prayer of Jesus to his Father. So certainly it's the 11. In the context of Jesus' prayer, obviously it has to be the 11. But again, there's that verse 20, and it's convincing evidence, at least to me, that there are others. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And the others are spoken of in other passages. Now again, I'm not promoting some exclusive club this morning. I'm not promoting that you have to, you know, there's a little group over here, and if you're not in that group, then no, I'm not, nothing like that, okay? Just what God says. We won't look at these specific verses, but if you want to write them down, you can. John 15, 16 through 19. Acts 13, 48. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. Titus 1, 1. And 1 Peter 1 and 2. You see, the Word always agrees with the Word. So all these passages are meaning the same thing. Now listen to these. I'll share these with you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Going on in Ephesians, or backing up in Ephesians, Ephesians 1, 4 through 14. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Do you know who He's writing there? Not just the 11. He's writing to a church that is not even yet when He's praying this. When Jesus is praying this. A church is going to be born over in a town called Ephesus. And so Paul, who was an arch enemy of Jesus Christ, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, who literally went about killing Christians, thinking that he was doing a big thing for God, who even held the coats of those who were stoning Stephen, a man filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the early deacons, that Paul struck down on the road to Damascus. That Paul is writing the letter to a church at Ephesus that at this time when Jesus is praying is not even yet. So this truth, since you have given Him authority over all flesh, since these are the ones in verse 6, I have manifested your name to the people you have given me out of the world. Those people at Ephesus obviously were part of this group. I mean, you heard what I read from those verses. And I know now you're getting nervous. You're starting to deal with election, aren't you? Yeah. Right? Some of you? Hey, folks. Call it what you want to. I'm in. I don't care what you call it. Change the word if you want to. I don't care. But folks, unless I have been given to Him, I am without hope. There's good news in this. I don't know why it's so divisive. I'll read on. Romans 8, 29 to 32. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say then, Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against? I still don't know why there's a controversy. Let's back up and spend just a minute here with this group whom you gave me, okay? This group are called out of the world. Now, clearly it's the 11, okay? But I think it's bigger, much bigger. So whoever you gave me, they were called out of the world. Anybody called out of the world here? Got some angels among us, I guess. We all were. Because we were all born into sin. When we were born with that sinful nature. We couldn't control that. It was Grandma and Grandpa's fault. It was their fault. They sinned. We inherited the nature. And that nature is inclined to sin. We sin by nature. The world is that sinful nature, remember, the composite of that sinful nature, Satan, who rebelled against God, and the demons of hell. That composite frames the world. We've looked at that on a few occasions of late. So he said, those you gave me were called out of the world. Yours they were, i.e. you created them, as we've established he's created all flesh. And you gave them to me. Me, Jesus, the one that you gave authority to give eternal life. In other words, those that we read about and those that Jesus is praying about are those that were called out of the world and given to him by the Father. I do not understand that in any shape, form, or fashion. Nor do I want to. They have kept, not deviated from, they have kept your word. And your word is your will and your ways. Now, folks, in the day in which we live, 2020 or 2016, there's a whole lot of wanting to reinvent the word, reinterpret the word, reapply the word. I would recommend strongly you not go there. If you cannot take a position that the Scripture, the Word of God, is the inerrant, infallible Word of God, you are on shifting sand. And if you are developing your moral framework or whatever, your eternal destiny, based on sand that shifts, you're going to go under. Because that shifting sand is quicksand. They have kept your word. I made your ways known to them. I made your name and all that you are known to them. They know your word, and they have kept it. They've not deviated from it. Now you take that position today, and you're going to get into a lot of trouble by the people who want to reinterpret the word. Okay? And if you're confused about who we are at Wellspring Baptist Fellowship, this word and only this word is truth. End of discussion. You say, I don't like that. There may be a place down the road. I'm not running off anybody, but there may be a place down the road where you're more comfortable, but you're not going to be very secure. Because what they teach today, they'll change tomorrow. Okay? And whatever wind blows, it'll be changing. We're not going to change. Jesus is saying, they know that everything you have given me is from you. And I have given them the words that you gave me. And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. That's what you got in the deal. That's what you got in the deal. When you believed, that's what you got in the deal. Forgiveness of your sins and to be in relationship with the God of this universe. Whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, it says in Romans. And He knows our name. And He hears us. Do you see? Do you see? You see why I got so bent out of shape when that guy came from Italy and said, well, there's nothing, you cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't think he said Jesus, okay? You can't have a... Oh, time out. I'm staking everything that I am on that. And so are most of you. and billions around the world? Yes, you can know Him. Jesus said, they have received and have come to know in truth that I came from you and have believed that you sent me. Now, certainly the 11 are the objects of His prey. Okay? But I believe the truth of His prayer applies also for those who will believe in me through their word. Because you see, that pebble of the gospel that fell into the pool of humanity that began with 11 men started rippling outward. And I don't know where we are in the pool, okay? But it hit me. Did it hit you? Huh? Did it hit you? Now, are you enveloped into those who believe in me through their word? Wow. Do you see? Some cautions, okay, and we'll close. Understand that salvation is of God. Okay? It's His salvation. Look at the scripture. It's His salvation. It's not your salvation. You partake in His salvation. We don't have time to get into the depths of that this morning. It's His salvation as to who is saved, how they're saved, when they're saved. Salvation was His idea, His grace, His love, His faith, His destination, His time. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. So don't let the wisdom of people rob you of the joy of His salvation. Folks, rather, like that little calf in the trailer, be so humble you're on your knees all the time just looking up for the nourishment that only He can give. I hope I never get that picture out of my mind. That helpless feeling. Just looking up, I need you. It's His salvation. And He, Jesus, was given by God to Him, and He gave me eternal life. Now, this is not something we sat around and made up through the week. You read it with me. Read it again. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept my word. And then back up there in verse 2, since you have given me authority over flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given Him, Him being Jesus. He's the life giver. And for some reason that we can never fathom, if you were in Christ, you were given to Christ by the Father. That's good news. I don't know where you're from, but that's good news. Now, don't take the truth of God that we just looked at this morning and become some arrogant, proud individual. What would you be arrogant and proud about? Have we established, I hope, you haven't done anything. I haven't done anything. I could rescue all the lost kids in India, Dwayne. And it wouldn't, you know, no. Or you fill in the blank. I haven't done anything. So what can I be proud about or arrogant about? Or what can you be proud or arrogant about? Go out and save somebody if you're good, okay? If you're really good, if you got game, go out, okay? Go over to Walmart where we stand out front there and save about five people after church today. Go ahead. You're on. No? See? I cringe when I'm around people and say, yeah, I saved so-and-so. Or I got so-and-so saved. Oh, really? Hello, Jesus, you know. Folks, what do we have to be arrogant and proud about? We are helpless sinners in need of a Savior. And in His mercy and grace, He gave us His salvation. So don't take the truth and become arrogant and proud. Be humbled by the reality that you're in Christ Jesus. For what reason, you never know, but you are. Don't isolate yourself either. Don't see yourself as some exclusive group, shunning those who are yet to believe. That goes around too. And certainly don't yield to the temptation that since I am in Christ Jesus and grace abounds, I can go out and do anything I want to. That is the testimony of a person who is not in Christ Jesus. Paul took that one off, you remember. What? Sin so that grace abounds? Ridiculous! Never! Because, see, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, selected by Him out of the world, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we would never even contemplate doing whatever, and you fill in the blank because of what it does to His name. You see, folks, when you and I as followers of Jesus do fill in the blank, it denigrates the name of Jehovah God. That's what it does. And we have already established what name means. The depths of it. So folks, if nothing else, when that temptation comes, and it will, the Scripture says we've all been tempted. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet with it. We have all been no temptation has taken man and woman except they're able to escape. When that temptation comes, don't think about what it's going to do for you or what people will say about you. Think of what they're going to say about your God and His name. That would be enough to humble anyone. And it will drive you away from that hour of temptation quicker than anything else because you are in Him and He is in you. Those in Christ Jesus will never even contemplate that which would take away from Him and His character and His name. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Who are these people? Certainly the 11. And every true disciple, I believe, from that day forward. Because even though he was praying for this group of people here, he was seeing the vistas of humanity that we cannot even imagine. Who would come to faith in Jesus Christ through His shed blood. I guess the best question to ask that we started with, who are these people? I guess the best question would be, are you these people? This morning, are you these people? On an individual basis, are you these people? That's the big question. Lord, I still am mesmerized by you talking to your Father and praying to Him. In the conversation you had that night just before the cross. Lord, the awesomeness of your relationship, your love for one another. And Father, as I hear your Son talking to you as we count it centuries ago, people in this room, I believe we're on his heart and mind. We were born into the world. Wasn't any way around that. And then you gave us to him out of the world. And he didn't build some earthly kingdom that's gone down through the ages. No. He gave those that you gave him eternal life. And he established a relationship with each of us, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what your word says. I pray this morning, if there's anyone in this room who is still in the world, make them aware, Father, this morning, as only you can. Holy Spirit, come close and show them that the very reason that they're in this room this morning is that you are presenting them to your Son. But there's that issue of believing. So, Father, those that you're giving, I pray that this morning they would believe. They would repent, believe, and abide. And for that one who may be here today that's confused about your salvation, they don't know. Well, Lord, today's the day to sort all that out from your word. So I pray, Father, for both those who you're giving out of the world, that they would make today, this Palm Sunday day, that'd be easy to remember. They make this day the day when they are that gift. The Father gives the Son. And for those, Father, who are confused, I pray today would be the day that that is made clear in their heart and mind. Father, we love you. Jesus, thank you for what we're going to remember this week, especially that day you went to the cross. There in the afternoon. And then, Father, thank you that Sunday's coming. Thank you that Sunday's coming. When death, hell, and the grave, our great enemies, are defeated by our great God.